Well, last week we talked about 2 minutes. This week, let's look at 2 weeks, huh? But, you know, the very thing that we were talking about with the 2 minutes, and as Vicki was talking, I was thinking, you know, 2 minutes isn't long. It's just not. And if we determine to take 2 minutes, most of the time it's settled in 2 seconds. To react properly, to respond correctly, you know, if we just determine, wait a minute, if I consider Jesus for 2 minutes, if I take 2 minutes to consider the thief's there to steal, kill, and destroy, if I'm sensing a thief, yeah, that's probably right, because he's always lurking about to see who he may devour. It's not like he walks up and says, "Can I trouble you?" No, no, no. He's troubling us, but prayer troubles the troubler. It troubles him if we take whatever weapon, whatever thing is prepared upon for us on the table, that's prepared before us, if we pick up whatever weapon is there, if we happen to pick up 2 minutes, if we happen to pick up 2 weeks, if we happen to pick up, you know, something else that someone else has said, if we just pick up that weapon, because you see, these are weapons that are given to us. And he, for David, he had prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemy. How much do you think that smorgasbord has grown since he prepared it for David? How many more things have been put on that table? How many things have you put on the table that somebody else can use? How many things has someone else put on the table that you can use? It's a smorgasbord. It is. And so what are we going to do with it? I mean, there are some things, there's new things on smorgasbords. You ever notice that? And sometimes we shy away from new things on smorgasbords. But somebody else might come along and say, "You got to try this." And then we try it and we like it. Or we try it and we go, "Whoa, you got a different set of taste buds than I do." But we have all of these things. We have these treasures in earthen vessels and open their eyes to see everything that's on the table and to pick up everything that anybody else happens to put there, because these are weapons of our warfare. So he's prepared them for us. Let's put them to work. You know, sometimes the enemy will fool us into thinking, you know, 2 minutes, well, you can't do anything in 2 minutes. I'm telling you, in 2 minutes you can turn 10,000. You know, if you set your clock to 2 minutes and determine to pray for 2 minutes, 2 minutes can become a long time. Until we get just about to the end of the 2 minutes, and one more thing, and then one more thing, and one more thing. You see, it's setting our hearts to seek the Lord. But I mean, you can accomplish a lot in 2 minutes. What if you have 40 different opportunities in a day for 2 minutes? That's over an hour. And generally, when we're down to that 2 minute warning, we are more efficient. Because we pray specifically. Because generally when it's that emergency moment, we're pretty focused. And we maybe say, "Help, Lord," with greater determination. "Get back, Satan," with determination. But once we begin to gather the importance and the understanding of that, Now then, it's not a waste of time to start our day talking to the Lord. See, because that's what the enemy says, you know, "You're not focused, you're tired, you're worried about your coffee, you, You're thinking about something else. You're distracted by everything. You're getting a bad attitude because your wife came out and turned the light on. Doesn't she know I like to pray in the dark? What in the world is she doing up so early anyway? That's just me. But, you know, if we fight the good fight of faith, we'll break through all of that and we'll go ahead and devote ourselves to that. They who wait upon the Lord, He will renew their strength. Remembering that when we're waiting upon the Lord. See, we get tricked into thinking that we're waiting on our answer. And if we're waiting on our answer, we can't be satisfied until the answer comes. And if the answer keeps stringing out there, then we spend all that time not satisfied. But if we wait on the Lord, we are instantly gratified. Instantly. You see, because He said, when you call on me, I'll answer you. When you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So I mean, what could be better than when we pray if we're focused on Him and now He's just with us, holding us, comforting us, encouraging us right from the start? You see, the enemy wants us to focus on the getting things. You know, Christmas is coming. I heard Christmas is coming for long periods of time when I was a child. I want that. Christmas is coming. There was something about Christmas is coming that sort of said to me, okay, they've logged that. I can leave that for Christmas now. How many ever wanted something and heard Christmas is coming? And by Christmas, you forgot about that one thing, but 500 more things had come up. No? I mean, we used to really depend on Christmas to get something when we were kids. Now, not so much. Now it's like Christmas becomes a problem because what in the world do you get someone? Everybody buys what they want. No. I don't walk into Menards and go, oh, Christmas is coming. It would be handy, it would be a blessing to my wife if I would see something and say, honey, I would like this. But I'm never really sure that I really want that. It's just that it's there. And it's on special, and it was this much, and now it's this much, and I better get it maybe just in case. And so, I'm not so tied any longer in that sense to Christmas. And lots of us aren't, but some don't even know Christmas is coming. Some parts of the world, you know, parents can't really tell their children Christmas is coming. They don't know what Christmas is, and they don't have anything to base that promise on. And they don't have any way to save up enough to get something, but yet in many of those parts of the country, they make something. Maybe they tie a string around a rock and they've got something good, you know. I mean, and it does not bother me to be blessed. I've gotten over being guilty about being blessed. It would be silly to be complaining about being born where you're blessed. Lord, I'd have rather been born somewhere else. No, I wouldn't have. I would not have. I'm thankful to have been born here. I'm thankful. And out of thankfulness can grow other things so that then because we're blessed, we can be blessings. Christmas is coming. 2 weeks from today, it's Christmas. It still seems a long time sometimes to some little kids, but it's getting real close. And if the presents go under the tree early, then there's somebody that they're seeing a present and then trying to eyeball it. And, you know, I think that it became a thing at our house where we had to be real careful about even putting names on them because I think we had some sneaks. I think we had little kids that opened stuff early, even after they knew better. And we should open the promises of God early. All the time. We should be looking for them. We should be anticipating them. Faith is, it's the substance in the New Living Translation that says, faith is the confidence that we have, that we hope for, will actually happen. It'll actually happen. People waited and waited and waited and waited for the birth of Messiah. It actually happened. And as we know, a majority of those who were waiting missed it. Because it wasn't born the way they wanted to. But I was thinking about that thing of we are priests and kings. And then I thought about the baby. And you know, every baby is a king when they're born. Or a queen. You think about that. How are they treated when they're born? They're like royalty. Other than the little spank. And I don't even know that they do the little spank all the time anymore. You know, I mean, they're royalty. Everybody waits on that baby. Everybody wants everything to be perfect for that baby. They check everything about that baby. They check so much about that baby that they know more than they probably know about that baby. They're checking things. They're doing things because they want everything to be perfect for that baby. That baby comes home, and how do we treat that baby? We treat that baby like royalty. We do our best to keep that baby smiling. We do our best to find whatever it is that that baby needs, if that baby needs something. It is almost impossible for us to wait if that baby needs something. And if we can't figure out what that baby needs, it drives us crazy because we can't satisfy that baby. And sometimes you will hear that from a mother or a dad, just frustration. I don't know what to do. I want everything to be perfect for this baby. Is that royalty or not? It is, isn't it? We are born. We are born. Although we don't remember much about our birth. We don't remember much about when we were a baby. But the truth of the matter is that when we were born, we were exposed to a glimpse of how God feels about us always. Think about that. How does God feel about you? Waiting for you to be so dissatisfied with a world that can't satisfy so that you turn to Him. This week we had two new people at the jail who came to Jesus. One man, I went to meet him, and he said, it's not like his mouth became clean, but his heart did. He said, I got to do something. I don't know what happened, but last time I was out there, been in the system since he was 13, in and out, in and out, in and out. He's 37. And suddenly, something about the last time that he was out was so ugly that he said, I got to change. I was doing some expletive bad stuff. And something's got to change. And I don't want he said, you talked about jail, you know, jailhouse religion and stuff. He said, I don't want that. And I said, well, don't hesitate to jump in just because you're afraid you might be like that. Make a determination now. And he prayed and he received Christ, and he asked me if I could get a hold of his wife and tell her about it. And then by God's design, but by accident, a young gal ended up coming in to visit me that I wasn't looking for to visit. She said, who talked to you? I said, nobody. You mean you just knew to come? I said, well, I guess God knew to come. But you weren't who I was expecting. But still, you're sitting here. And so we prayed for her life to change as well. And now to help somebody to understand, you've just been born into the kingdom of God. You are a priest and a king. You're a queen of heaven. You are so important, and God has turned every power, everything in heaven to focus on you, to help you, to meet your needs, to bless you, to keep you happy. That's God. I don't know why God's that way, but that's the way God really is. God sent His Son, our Savior, as a little baby, and everybody could see. But still, as you said, Vicki, there were people wanting to kill Him. Every person in the story has a part. The king wanted Him dead. The shepherds found hope. Wise men traveled the long, long ways just to come and to see this child. And after seeing the child, recognized that He was the promised one. And left their treasures. They didn't say, "Whoa, this is just a baby. We're not going to trust Him with all this." No. Left it. They didn't go, "Oh, the parents will probably squander it." They left it for the child because they knew that this was what they came looking for. They didn't leave it for the child to justify all of their travels so that they could go home and tell their wives that they weren't gone for nothing. They left it because they reckoned, they bowed down and worshiped the baby Jesus. And if you can believe it, the angels bow down and rejoice at the opportunity to serve you. Because you experience something they just can't quite grasp. That song that says it's a song the angels cannot sing, Amazing Grace. They don't get it. They can't experience what we can experience, but they can do a lot to help us experience more. And somehow I think that they get a lot of joy out of watching us get joy. And they just like, again, like a child, how much joy do you get out of a little child that just smiles? And some people say, "Oh, I think it's just gas." It's the cutest gas I've ever seen. And I know I don't look that good when I gas. But you know, I mean, so imagine that the way that God set this up. And so, you know, the angels are our servants set to meet the needs of those who come to the Lord. And so we must be pretty important. It's not some sort of a tool to get us to be, you know, to self-aggrandize ourselves. It's just something to show, something for us to accept. Listen, God loves us. And so 2 weeks from the day is Christmas, and we're waiting because it's just a celebration of how much God loves us. Oh, how He loves us. And how sad it is that everybody doesn't know that. How sad it is. I have to be honest with you and say that our family dinners are very, very difficult for me when I have lost people at my table. They're very difficult. My heart breaks. And I think, oh, they're missing so much. Now, I miss things too, but I don't miss that part. And it's difficult. And somehow, in the midst of this, I hope that my heart is becoming more and more tuned in to how many people don't know the Lord. Like we said last week, in 2 minutes. in 2 minutes, I can give a person all the information they need to have eternal life. Just by letting them know how much God loves you, that Christmas is just an expression of God's love for us. And when we're loved, when you're loved, it draws love out of you, doesn't it? You know? It just does. So if you want to be loved, love somebody. Because it draws them out. That's what God is. It's not that we love Him, it's that He first loved us. And so all of a sudden here we've got this Christmas thing, this celebration of Jesus' birth coming up, and wow, it's just a celebration of how much God loves us. I like that. It's a reminder of His love for us. Yeah. That's what it is. And so as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and sometimes we get guilted, we all get a little guilted about, well, we're so caught up in the commercial end of it and all of those things, you know. But we get guilted because we don't think that we're doing enough to love Him. But maybe if we turn that around and we just realize that it's just a reminder to us of how much He loves us, and we just receive His love, now then, that's easier. I don't know how to love Him perfectly. And I don't know how to ever be satisfied with how I love Him. Because there's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's a thief that causes us to try to doubt that we might. It doesn't matter if we do 999 things right. Man, when it comes time to thinking if we've done anything right, we think about the one thing we did wrong. Oh, but that's still there. Oh, let the angels take it somewhere. Because this isn't about how we love Him. This is about how He loves us. And as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we grow to understand how much He loves us, how could we not love Him? And it's not a pressure to love Him, it's just a return to love, you know. But if you can imagine this, we now have two cats. Because this one kitty just fell in love with Vicky. And she had to keep him. And, well, it's just kind of an expression of love to the mama, so the mama has a friend. And that little kitty, you know, I mean, it's a smart little kitty. That little kitty, when now I'm, of course, on duty, I found out what gets my wife up early in the morning, taking care of the cats. The day she left and she was taking care of the cats, and it occurred to me, this is my wife up early and she's talking to me. It may be me that doesn't want all the conversation first thing in the morning. Explaining to me what I've got for Michael to eat, what I've got, what time to do the cats, what time to do, you know. But, and honey, that kitty just loves me so much. I was out there to feed it, and it didn't even eat. First, it had to come and get loved by me. And purring, I never heard a kitty purr so loud. Like I have any say about it anyway. You know. But you see, what got that kitty its place? Loving her. If we would take 2 minutes to think about how much He loves us. See, I know for a fact that almost everybody that I know that has ever spent any time with the Lord spends a lot of time wondering how in the world I can please Him. What must I do? To Peter, they said, "What must we do to be saved?" He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." It can't be that easy. That's the best we got. That's all we know. And he'll save me just for believing? Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Oh, and he loves you too. Yeah, God so loved the world. Yeah. He loves me too. See, everything is a reminder of how much God loves us. How much he cares about us. And so, what a wonderful time of year to be reminded how much he loves us. See, when you're loved that much, you're going to love back. When you're cared for that much, you're going to care back. And we're just learning to figure out how much he cares and how much he loves. And as a result, how much we can love and how free we can be and how much joy we can have. The Advent season is the preparation for his return. We're waiting for him to show up, the reminder of that. But, you know, as soon as we call, he answers. And so 2 weeks is a giant reminder of how much he loves us. Danny just turned 16. Did she know you loved her the rest of the year? Or just that day? And your text told me that you got back to Highmore in time for Blake's game. It doesn't matter what the weather is. When I read that text, I thought, well, there's going to be no problem people getting to church. Did they come because you're about the best basketball player they've ever seen or because they love you? Probably both, huh? I guarantee you, you are the best one on the floor. Just ask your grandma. And you are. All those other guys are just out there so that you don't have to be out there all by yourself. But you're the best.
Him and Jermaine, they got angel wings on them. I love watching both of them.
Yeah. And God loves watching you. And God loves loving you, and God loves providing for you, and God loves for you to ask. There's that transitional period with children when they can suddenly tell you what they want. And it's so cute, just before they get into that thing of telling you what they want all the time, and all of a sudden you'd like to go back to guessing, you know. But the thing of the matter is that it's a neat deal when they can finally say what they want. And give you that cute little smile when they do it. And then when they learn to say, please, and thank you. Oh, them are the good times. For the good times. Obviously, there are some rockier times, but we're fortunate that God's not like us. And he knows our limitations. You know, I've always said that for us, you know, Michael has been a great revelation of low expectation. Because we've never expected a lot, so we've always appreciated anything and everything. Now, he can have 9 days where he only growls at us, but he's a lot of fun on that day when he's happy. And I don't mean to say that there are 9 days when he just growls. But what I'm saying is that God knows our limitations. And his love for us isn't based on expectations. His love for us and his care for us is just simply something that he set up so that he would have something to do with all that he has. and so that he could find some people that would love him back. That's not so much to ask. Just love him back. So it may be 2 weeks till Christmas, but we can love him all the time and become more and more and more aware of what our loving him does for him. Just loving him. We can love him. We can love him. We can do that. We can appreciate him. We can thank him. We can praise him. And we can respond to him. And we can do those things that he puts in our hearts to do. I will tell you that when I went Friday over to the jail, I was thinking, hey, Lord, I don't really even know if I want to go today. That doesn't happen too often, but I don't know what the roads are going to be like, and it's cold, and my wife's leaving tomorrow, and I didn't even think all those things. Mostly, I just thought, but I got people that wanted me to come. And as it turned out, the two people that I got to see before an attorney came and I got bumped out were the two people God most wanted me to see. Could have missed that. But God just loved them that much and loved me that much that I could have that opportunity. And loves you that much because you have opportunities every day. His love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given to us. So I'm looking at Christmas a new way this year. It's a celebration and a reminder of how much he loves me. Huh. Ain't that grand. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, you love us every day. You do. And I'll just say that I'm going to appreciate your love more after today. I understand something that I never thought of before. I knew you loved me. I knew you loved because you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. But never considered your celebration over our salvation. May this season of your love be a season of many, many, many coming to the salvation of our Lord and King. May we be filled with such joy that it is infectious to all that are around us. And may we take the 2 minutes to say it's just Jesus. And for 2 weeks leading up to Christmas and 52 weeks after leading up to the next one, we will be continually reminded of your great love for us. And our ability to love because of your great love. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. And you can love people healthy. You can love people free. That love of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God.